This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Welcome one and all to the Friday edition of the Neighborhood Report with me, John Arulla, and Brett Ehrlich back in the saddle. Not gonna do a bunch of shots. Glad to have you here.
About where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum weed. Back in the saddle again.
I'm vaguely familiar with that, but I'm glad to have you here.
Gene Autry, John.
That name is kind of familiar. Is that from City Slickers? Is that what it is?
It's a song by Gene Autry. You know where I've heard it? I think it's on the Sleepless in Seattle soundtrack.
Okay, I have seen that. I actually watched that during the pandemic era for the first time ever.
Michelle Pfeiffer refused the role, John.
Really?
Went to Meg Ryan, as the story goes.
It was made for Meg Ryan. I find that sort of thing way too compelling. Like, did you know who else tried out for this or almost got it? I find that like, that's my favorite thing. I just found out this morning that the lead role of Starship Troopers almost went to Matt Damon. Think about that. He could have been Johnny Rico from Buenos Aires.
And instead it went to?
I don't know his name.
Casper Van Dien. Casper,
which is not, it's not a real name. That's a made up Hollywood name.
You want to live forever?
I know. I think I'm gonna watch it tonight. Maybe just because I've
you've been watching it
recently,
every time you play freaking Helldivers because it's just stolen IP and it's not okay. It's the sour taste in my mouth.
I want you to Google homage. Okay.
We used to, on Rotten Tomato Show, we had a segment called Homage or Stealing, You Make the Call. Did you know that the attack on the Death Star is a shot for shot remake of an old movie about taking out a dam?
I knew that it was inspired by that. I did not know that it was shot for shot similar. But anyway,
you know, before The Lion King, there was a movie in Japan called Kimba the White Lion.
Yes, I have heard that. And The Mandalorian is deeply inspired by Wolf and Cub. I understand all
of
that.
Did you know that they originally offered the role of Sister advantage. Mary Clarence to Bette Midler, and she said no. She wanted to make a movie called For the Boys with Jimmy Caan, which went on. I can't find that on Disney Plus.
Okay, I would not want Whoopi Goldberg to be replaced. It's an iconic role, but now I kind of want AI to generate a Bette Midler version because I'm curious. You know that
I'm gonna make a deepfake with Bette Midler and Harvey Keitel
than to do this for 90 minutes, and it is unfair of you that you try to. This is like offering drugs to someone fresh out of rehab. We have to talk about politics. There's a lot of politics to talk about, and we have limited time to do it. So you and I will dive over the weekend, and during that we will talk about Sister Mary Clarence and other stuff. But for those of you watching who tuned in, perhaps for the first time thinking, wait, isn't this about politics? It usually is, and it soon will be. We're gonna be talking about the RNC. We're gonna be talking about the concept of loyalty pledges. Who is demanding loyalty and who would the right like you to think is demanding loyalty? That will be fun. We're gonna be talking about dueling fundraisers, Donald Trump totally not being mad that Hollywood has flocked to Joe Biden, and then voter fraud. We're gonna be doing big dives into those three topics, and that's just in the first hour. Coming up in the aftermath, we will be throwing away our garbage people of the week. I love my garbage person this week. I can't wait to talk about that and a whole lot more besides. Rudy Giuliani could soon be evicted from his place, and Mike Lindell also has been evicted. Eviction is gonna be the theme of the aftermath. So prepare yourself for that. With all that said, also Blue Apron gift cards are back. I know I didn't give one out yesterday, but I'm not just going to throw them out of pity. You gotta send me a good comment, everybody. So do that. And with all that said, Brett, are you ready to do this thing?
Whether I am or not, you've been more than fair.
He did it, and without a shot needed. Let's jump into this first story. Donald Trump's campaign has provided possibly the dumbest possible explanation for why the RNC is now asking job applicants if the 2020 election was stolen. See, you might think, that's an attempt to gauge if they're loyal to Donald Trump, if they're at least willing to pretend to believe the big lie. No, it's dumber than that. They say, if we don't have someone who has thought deeply about these issues as it pertains to the Republican Party, then that would suggest they're not a particularly curious young person. It's important to understand if your frontline political staff has any firsthand opinion or view of things they observed or didn't observe 4 years ago, and how that factors into how they operate now. The goal is not loyalty. It's to bring on political staffers who can, quote, think through complex problems and come to all the wrong conclusions. I added that part. The official said that the interview question about the 2020 election does not amount to a litmus test, to which a second official then jumped in to say, there is a litmus test, and that is, do you support President Trump or not? Which I'm going to make the case kind of undercuts everything else that you just said. Your BS excuse was kind of undercut when you're like, no, it is totally a litmus test. But it's not about the 2020 election and whether Donald Trump legitimately won. It's about whether you support Trump, which is like the exact same thing. It's a litmus test. That's what it's for. They're not interested in curiosity. Or at least, let's say that we didn't think that these job applicants were gonna be lying. There is a form of curiosity that conspiracists have in abundance. The people who are really into conspiracy theories are curious people, but they're also misguided. They don't know when they go looking with their curiosity for information, they don't have the capacity to evaluate what they find, whether it's reasonable or not, whether they're being conned or scammed or not. And I don't know if this official knows that or not, but it's important for us to understand the difference between those things. And so, Brett, this is a new explanation. How do you evaluate it? Do you think that it is fair to use thought exercises like this in screening potential applicants?
The key when interviewing people is to ask questions that don't technically break the law and don't explain to them what a good answer is, and then go off secretly and make your decisions based on what you personally want out of a job applicant. And it's a difficult process. And in many scenarios, it's easy to cover up your original intent if you're trying to, you know, if you're Donald Trump, maybe if you're asking someone who's applying to a job as a stock, you know, at a stock brokerage firm. Mm-hmm. Oh, would you, if let's say you got intel ahead of time as to what's going to happen with a stock that is definitely insider information? My question for you is, you know, would you act on that, or would you report that to the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission? And then, you know, when people answer, I would absolutely act on that, you just know that they're so stupid that they would admit to you that they would do something like that, that you don't do it, you know?
Yeah.
You don't hire them. But in this scenario, it's like, look around. They're trying to convince us that there's like a very brilliant reason for them asking this question when everyone affiliated with Trump denies the results of the 2020 election, including Donald Trump. And if one of the questions is, are you loyal to Donald Trump? And Donald Trump himself is rejecting the results of the 2020 election. Well, then obviously the thing they want is someone who rejects the results of the 2020 election. But for the RNC, they probably are going to gravitate toward the people who give them the vibe that they're going to be able to speak out two sides of their mouths in mm-hmm. ways that are beneficial to the party and the people who miraculously were able to keep their jobs in the transition between Trump and between Rana's RNC and Trump's.
Yeah, or those who were fired and reapply and actually managed to make it through. I guess you'd have to be pretty savvy in your lying to do that. But yeah, the idea that they're just interested in your curiosity, like if they had a question about like, hey, what do you think about like DEI programs? We don't care which position you hold. We're just interested in your curiosity. Like, no, get the hell out.
No, they'd say, no, you can say you're against those things. But the question, it depends on also their role. Do you think there were irregularities? They're looking for an answer like, listen, I think we need to, our number one priority is to beat Joe Biden in the next election. And along the way to prevent the kind of shady behavior in the voting process that led to this uncertainty around the election. We need to defeat Joe Biden in a way that is fair, equitable, and you know, keeps them from cheating.
Yeah, that's overly fair. I think I agree though, I agree.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
They accuse Trump of this very thing. It's the usual projection that they engage in. They said that he demanded complete loyalty. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. The ugly truth is, the price one has to pay to be in their club, the media or national politics on the left, is total and complete loyalty.
Okay, so the idea there is that when Donald Trump goes to people like Comey and literally asks for a loyalty pledge, that's not requiring a loyalty pledge. No, the left, which I guess includes Biden and CNN and MSNBC, they require loyalty pledges because they fired Ronna McDaniel for being part of an illegal attempt to overturn the results of an election. And that's about loyalty somehow. It's not about, you know, having some base level of ethics or our audience having any reason to believe they can trust anything you would say as a contributor. No, it's about absolute loyalty. That is a clownish, clumsy attempt to defend Donald Trump. But I'm less worried about what she's saying there than what she's not saying. Because I want to remind all of you, when we're talking about loyalty and the lengths that the right is expected to go to demonstrate their never-ending loyalty for Donald Trump, that is Laura Ingraham, who is a host on Fox News. Fox News lost the better part of $1 billion, was it $800 million? I think it was $750 million, $800 million. Yeah, nearly $1 billion. Because in the wake of the 2020 election, their hosts knew that the election had not been stolen. Their hosts believed that Donald Trump's attempts to overturn the results of the election were that of a destroyer of democracy. But they knew that if they admitted that, then they would lose the favor of Donald Trump and thus the favor of the MAGA movement. And so, made very clear in their private text messages, they made the conscious decision that they were going to lie to their audience to maintain that audience. They publicly demonstrated loyalty to Donald Trump so that they could maintain their power, their influence, their access, and the high salaries that they command. That's what they did. She understands loyalty because she is part of an organization that made that devil's bargain and continues to make that devil's bargain. An organization that, in the wake of that insurrection, dabbled in supporting other candidates, started to talk a little bit about Ron DeSantis. And then once it became clear that Donald Trump was still gonna be the GOP daddy, ran running back to him. Okay, so she understands exactly how much loyalty is demanded and how vicious the MAGA movement can be if it's not provided. So I want to, before we get into our discussion, I want to give you just a little bit of the man himself talking about loyalty. Here is Donald Trump.
We have unbelievable people that are going to go in and people that are loyal to our country. I don't want them to be loyal to me. I want them to be loyal to our country.
I don't know about Mike Pence. He should endorse me. He should endorse me. You know why? I chose him, made him vice president. But people in politics can be very disloyal.
They said, sir, please don't hit him so hard. Why? He's a Republican. Who the hell cares? You care? Who cares if he's a Republican? Why, he's a Republican, sir. Please don't hit him so hard. He's a Republican. I don't care if he's a Republican. He's a disloyal guy.
One day she decided to run. So, you know, I thought that was somewhat disloyal. Not nearly as disloyal as Ron DeSanctimonious, who I got elected.
I'm so loyal to people that when somebody's slightly disloyal to me, I look upon it as a great act of horror. Some of the people that were least loyal to me are people that
you got
I think I would have treated them differently. I think I would have treated different groups differently. I would have wiped the floor with the guys that weren't loyal, which I will now do, which is great. You know, I love getting even with people.
Yeah, that's who he is. Laura Ingraham knows that. I don't know if Laura Ingraham likes him. We know that Tucker Carlson pretended to and didn't. But that, what you just saw right there, is what the MAGA movement likes. But they like that he's vicious. They like the idea of being the person who can demand loyalty but never actually provide it to anyone else. That's the power fantasy they live in, bowing down to a guy like Donald Trump. And she fully understands that. Brett, what do you think?
What dissent is allowed on the right at all? What big disagreements do people on the free speech right have with each other? The answer is none that are allowed publicly. None of them. And if they are, if there is any dissent, Trump pushes them out. That is what is demonstrably true. And not only that, he never even allows just people to be decent, to follow the basic rules of propriety. And that was the same on day 100 of his cabinet as it was on the last day of his last possibility for him to be president, January 6th, essentially. He thought he could put people in place like Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions merely recused himself from a case he should have recused himself of. And Trump is like, that guy's evil. How dare he be anywhere near me? Get out. Anybody who speaks against him, get out. And then on the last day, with he replaced his running mate at this point. He's not going to have Mike Pence in his cabinet. He encouraged Mike Pence to abandon the core framework of American democracy. And what a lot of us see as, you know, if you have your cabinet full of adversaries, like that's a good thing, a lot of us think. Trump thinks that was a mistake anytime he ever did it. And it's a mistake he does not intend to duplicate. When we think like, you know, I'm glad that America's framework for democracy held firm under the stress of January 6th. Like Donald Trump's like, well, never again to that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's his path going forward.
Yeah, 100%. And look, again, she'll pretend to not see how one-sided the flow of loyalty is, but she knows. They all know. I mean, ask Melania about Donald Trump and loyalty. Like, honestly, like he's able to do it because he has money and because he has this following. If he was not as popular, if he was about as popular as Ron DeSantis or about as popular as Nikki Haley going up against all of them, this is the sort of thing that would be used to attack him. It would make him even more unappealing, but he was able to break through for reasons that I think are fairly clear. And so this is what you get.
And like the general dynamic I want to point out as well is that like Donald Trump, one of the things he figured out early about politics was like he sees stuff that normal politicians do and he stays away from it. Like normal politicians used to do something, get caught doing something that's horrible, and then they would have like the dumbest but actually perfectly worded apology for it. Trump was the first person to be like, no, that's not happening. In politics, it is generally like a good idea after you win the presidential election to govern on behalf of all Americans and include people from different factions within your party and different parts of, embrace some things that the other party might be into in the spirit of unity. Trump's not going to do that next time. Like he has learned his lesson from losing the last election. He's not going to duplicate that thing he considers a mistake again. I just want to make that pretty clear.
Okay. I would love to see a capacity for learning from mistakes. We'll see.
He doesn't think.
But I want to end with a little bit of fun. Okay. I'm doing this for you because are you a fun loving guy, but you are a crooner. You're a musician. Yep. And so I thought you would appreciate this. Okay. Let's jump into this. New head of the RNC, Lara Trump, has released her second single, like a music single. She's putting out a song that's come out last night. And she teased the release of several more songs. So let's be open minded and give it a try. Take a look at this. Okay, so I want to say that, you know, when you are a public official, especially in the world of politics, you know, you can expect that you'll be attacked for pretty much anything you do. So I think that she showed a lot of bravery. Like she has this dream of being a singer and she shows a lot of bravery in recording the song and then having them do whatever it is that they did to it with computers and then listen to it. And then decide to still put it out. I think that took a lot of bravery, actually. There were a couple of instances there where you could have pulled the ripcord on that parachute and might have been wise to do so, but she decided to persevere, Brett. So what do you think?
Pull the ripcord on this parachute and use it to garrote me out of my misery. Jeez.
You have
heard
clowns,
dude. They're clowns. Like, oh my God.
You remember Tim Pool's music?
Perfect. It's exactly
who's better?
Like, I'm a musician and I'm not a good singer. And every time I'm like, I think I'm confident that this is a good song, I'll record it and listen back on it. I'll be like, well, people don't need to hear that. You know what I mean? They don't need to hear that in public. Maybe around dear close friends. But just the idea of how deluded Laura Trump and how much of a joke the Republican Party is. This is their leader. And also for all their talk about like, this is America. What we don't like is the concept of a king. We're a, they don't even say democracy anymore. And secondly, like the guy wins and his family's in charge.
Yep.
It's a little too on the nose even for me.
Yeah. Look, part of me, I'm a nice guy, right? Internet, aren't I a nice guy? I don't want to make fun of people for like being bad at singing or whatever, really. But deep down I do. So I look for excuses too. And I've come up with a couple of excuses and you tell me if they're good enough excuses. So one, like the thing that she's better criticized for right now than not being good at singing is that she's not qualified to head up an organization like the RNC. But okay, she got the position because she married into the Trump family. That's fine. If you're not qualified though, if there's no objective reason why you should hold the position, shouldn't you at least demonstrate like a commitment to doing the job? And I'm not saying this song shows that she doesn't have the commitment. She's saying she's gonna be recording and releasing other songs. You've got like an election coming up later this year. Maybe focus on that for a little bit. But also the bigger issue, Brett, is that every one of these people, whether it's the Trump family, the right-wing independent political people or whatever, they all love to down on creative artistic people. They love to take big craps all over Hollywood and all of that. Every single one of them desperately wants to be a creative. They all want to be actors or be on Broadway or sing songs or make movies. Even Don Jr. has to have a podcast. Ted Cruz has a podcast. They all desperately want to do anything other than the thing they're doing. And you could just do that. You don't have to be the political goon. Just go follow your art and stop attacking other people who do.
But John, anything is possible. You can have it all. You can, I guess not everything is possible. You can't make Laura Trump sound good in a song.
No,
but every other thing is, I mean, I'll give you a counter argument to that. Like the sad, and it's a sad reality. It's not even a counter argument. It's a potential sad reality acknowledgement exercise. What was wrong about politicians before is that they all stayed in this one lane and we only allowed all of them to get away with it. That like weird fake sincerity, political speechifying that you would see in everyone on the left and the right when they get up there and they do this thing and they say, I feel your pain. Like they all were speaking the same language. So it's like when you watch a Shakespeare play, like that's a weird sounding, but they're all talking that way. They all go along with it. Trump showed up and was just like, you're fat, your hands are stupid, you're little and like you can't drink water right. And it was funny. And that entertainment, that the concept of an entertainer bringing like some watchability to the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Transform politics in a way that actually is similar to how everything is working in all of media. It's not just a television star. You have to be a television star and have your own Instagram profile and your entire brand transcends all kinds of verticals in the industry. And that's the problem is Lara Trump's gonna try to do that. And now it becomes a wildly marketable audience creating and therefore revenue generating exercise.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I have no doubt that she'll make money. I mean, they have been trained to deny the evidence of their eyes and ears. I'm sure many of them will be able to deny those ears when they listen to this and pretend that it sounds good. And by the way, look, I understand glass houses, you know, me criticizing her for following her art or whatever. I do political commentary and I write stories about magical animals. So if you want to attack me for that, that's fine. I believe, and I'll take this to the bank, my stories are better than that song. I do think that. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take our first break of the hour, but much more to talk about after this. Welcome back, one and all. Lots to talk about, starting with this. That is Joe Biden and also Bill Clinton and also Barack Obama and also, hey, Stephen Colbert, why not? That is the big New York City fundraiser for Joe Biden that apparently raised over $26 million thanks to, you know, the multiple presidents there and comedians, but also musical acts including Queen Latifah, Lizzo, Ben Platt, Cynthia Erivo, and even Lea Michele is back. But they also didn't just have music, they had comedy, you know, people love a little bit of political comedy. Here's a Stephen Colbert boosting the president in slighting Donald Trump on his golf trophies.
Saginaw, Milwaukee, Phoenix, Vegas, Hot Atlanta, the Philly suburbs, Manchester, Dallas, and Houston. Donald Trump, as far as we can tell, has just been trying to win a third championship at his own golf course. My question to you, sir, can voters trust a presidential candidate who has not won a single Trump International Golf Club trophy? At long last, sir, have you no chip shot?
Well, look, I'd be happy to play. I told him this before when he came into the Oval, when he was being, before he got sworn in. I said, I'll give you three strokes if you carry your own bag.
Ouch. I don't know if that's like an elitist attack or like a physical capacity attack, but either way, you just got burned by Dark Brandon. But anyway, there were a lot of jokes thrown around. This is a big money raiser, and it's coming off of, Brett, the news that came out just a couple days ago that the like first quarter fundraising for the Biden campaign was like three times higher than for Donald Trump. And we know they're already turning that into, I think it was like a $30 million nationwide ad campaign targeting Latino voters. Like, they need that money, but they're also getting that money. So what do you think about this?
So they haven't had to do a lot of the stuff that Trump has had to do in the lead up. And that includes running against someone in the primary that is of, you know, a tangible threat to him. So he's had to spend money on that. He's had to engage for a while, so he wouldn't have as much money on hand. But then also, like, the scary thing for Trump, I assume, is that he also has to cover his legal fees with all of these things, stuff that we've kind of mentioned on the way here. Like, he's got a bunch of fronts that are open, not just against Biden, but against the legal system, against people who have sued him in civil court. And so it's tough for him. And he obviously, it seems pretty obvious that he is trying to redirect that money into his own personal use, not just running ads against Biden. When I hear these, you know, right now, according to the New York Times, February 2024, net cash for Biden is $71 million. And for Trump, it's $33 million. And that was before this giant fundraiser. What's funny about Trump is he'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe that these Democrats have all these rich people that are giving the money. They're such elitists. And then you'll get a billionaire swoop in and give more money to Trump in way scarier and more clandestine ways that benefit him without anybody knowing how.
That's where we're going with this, Brett.
Oh, great. But I'm happy.
Yes, I do agree. That is scarier, but that doesn't involve Lizzo. And if you're Fox News, Lizzo really trumps the rest of this. And so we will return to that. I just want to read a few more of the things that Stephen Colbert said. He said, Mr. President, thank you for joining me this evening. This is especially exciting and rare occasion. Three presidents have all come to New York and not one of them is here to appear in court. Dun-dun-dun. I like that. And also, I like comedy that also makes clear the stakes of the election. He said, we have a limited time together here, so I'm going to hold you two gentlemen, President Obama, President Clinton, I'm going to hold you to 5-minute answers. President Biden, because you're sitting president, you get 7 minutes, because as the sitting president, you can order SEAL Team 6 to take me out, which according to Donald Trump's lawyers is perfectly okay. Again, 100% accurate. So look, anybody in that room is giving a lot of money. It was, I think, $100,000 for a picture. I think it was $250,000 for like the private gathering that they had. That is a lot of money. There are worse ways to spend it, I guess, than trying to get Donald Trump defeated. So I don't have a massive problem with that. But I do want to turn, as you said, to the scarier way that money is raised. So let's turn to that. President Joe Biden's New York fundraiser brought in tens of millions of dollars, thanks in large part to the help of some of the biggest Hollywood stars. Now, Donald Trump says that he hates Hollywood. Fox and the right wing love to talk about how they hate Hollywood, but he's already planning a bigger, better, shinier fundraiser. He's not mad at all about all this attention that Joe Biden got and that he got to hang out with Lea Michele or whatever. So he's got a different group of people that he's bringing together. I mean, I'm sure they'll get Scott Baio or Kid Rock or who do they have? I don't know. They thought they could maybe woo Sydney Sweeney to their side, but I don't think that's going very well for them. So instead, he's got people coming to this big April 6th fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago, like New York hedge fund billionaire John Paulson, who might become Treasury Secretary. The fact that he's going to be giving a bunch of money to Trump and then getting a position in government where he can manipulate government policy to benefit himself isn't worrisome at all. But also there's co-chairs like Las Vegas-based businessman Robert Bigelow, casino mogul Steve Wynn, and New York grocery billionaire John Katsimatidis. I knew I was going to mispronounce that. Admission is $250,000, or you can pay the oddly specific $814,600 to be named the chairman. Now, you might wonder what you get for that. I don't know. Nothing worth the money, definitely. But you do, for all of this, you get a copy of Our Journey Together, Trump's coffee table book of photos from his administration, which I guess you could want for some reason. So look, as Brett was alluding to earlier on our show, this is going to be less about Hollywood glitz and glamour because, you know, notable famous people aren't largely fans of Donald Trump. Maybe Gina Carano will show up, I don't know. But what it will be about is bringing in billionaires to raise as much money as possible. And that really should concern people more than the fact that, you know, Lizzo did something for Biden. I know that Fox News is talking about how elitist that thing was. He's got like billionaires flying in to give him money. We already know that his stance on TikTok was changed because of what seems like a guarantee of a massive infusion of cash into his campaign. Is that not much worse that just a handful of people can come in and potentially buy out Donald Trump and his agenda? Brett, I know you have thoughts about this. What do you want to say?
Like, here's the difference between mega donors on the Democrat side that we mentioned in Biden's fundraiser and mega donors on the Republican side. The mega donors on the Republican side are businessmen. Mm-hmm. So when you say, oh, I don't know, what are they getting out of it? They think they're getting something out of it. Those people have made the billions they're freed up to donate to Donald Trump because they've made wise investments. Their argument is that the Democrats, the rich people, the newly famous artists are making like a wise investment to positively change America. No, they're just trying to stop these jagoffs. Mm-hmm. Like the true Hollywood stories of America are just peppered with all kinds of dumb celebrities who wasted millions of dollars on stuff. So you can't argue that these guys are like secretly in a cabal to do freaking anything with their money. They're buying mansions and they're like Kim Basinger squandered all his money because she tried to like make a tourist attraction in Georgia. Like that's a famous one. Like, these guys are like, oh, I'm going to give money to Trump so he can do what he did when he was president last. Giant tax cuts for the rich, getting rid of regulations that allow me to make more money while poisoning schools and people who live near my chemical plants. Like that's the plan on the right. On the left, they're just like, this guy seems horrible. Let's stop him.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And those people that are going to cruise into Mar-a-Lago or whatever aren't household names in the same way. But like, yeah, if you're a conservative person watching this, you really think that like whatever Taylor Swift plans to get out of Joe Biden is less in your interest than a grocery store billionaire? Whatever grocery store billionaire is whispering to Trump's ear, how the hell do you think that's going to benefit you, honestly?
This is what I love. It's like, oh, the Democrats are in a secret cabal. And they're like, who's in this secret cabal? And then they list like 15 to 30 names, everybody, like Tom Hanks, Beyonce. It's like, okay, now what's more likely that huge names that are not secret at all are in a secret cabal. Or when I think of the billionaires who are funding Donald Trump, it's essentially a smoke-filled room with a backlit billionaire in a suit with a question mark over his face. Yeah. Like, we don't know those people's names. They use like dark money and really shady tactics. Like,
yeah,
isn't that more likely to be the secret cabal of deep state goons?
Yeah, and honestly, it's not like, it's not purely hypothetical. All of those guys in that room have already benefited massively from Donald Trump financially, directly. They have made millions upon millions of dollars in the tax cuts. On the other side, you have Lizzo and Lea Michele and Taylor Swift, who have benefited massively financially from Donald Trump's tax cuts. But they're trying to stop him from being elected, even though it's in their financial interest, perhaps, that he get elected. So which of those is more suspicious? It's not Joe Biden talking about cutting Whoopi's taxes or something. That's not how this is working.
What happened is such a sad event, such a horrible thing, and it's happening all too often, and we're just not going to let it happen. We just can't 21 times arrested this thug, and the person in the car with him was arrested many times. And they don't learn because they don't respect. They're not given the respect. The police are the greatest people we have. There's nothing and there's nobody like them. And this should never happen. I just visited with a very beautiful wife that now doesn't have her husband. We have to stop it. We have to get back to law and order. We have to do a lot of things differently because this is not working. This is happening too often.
So that is Donald Trump, who immediately flew to New York because a migrant killed a cop. And Donald Trump would have you believe that he cares at all about that, that he cares about violence against cops, that any of this is anything other than the most transparent photo op in history. And he's using that opportunity to be like, that fundraiser that Biden had planned, obviously he has to cancel that. If he doesn't cancel that because of this tragedy that I've decided to highlight, that the right is glomming onto, that there's something wrong with that. It's all about the juxtaposition for these people. So it's not just Trump. Right-wing accounts are posting things like this. Trump arrives at slain NYPD officer's wake. Meanwhile, Biden, Obama, and Clinton are partying with none other than Lizzo. Yeah, why is it Lizzo? And why did you choose that particular photo of Lizzo? Is it that it's wrong for Biden to raise money with Lizzo if she's not hot enough for you? If you can't get an erection, it becomes immoral for him to raise money or something? What the hell kind of point are you making? I understand that she's a woman. I understand that she's a black woman, and that's some sort of original sin to you people. But he was there with Bill Clinton. He was there with Lea Michele. Why are they not in the tweet or in the photo? Why is it that you chose to focus on what you chose to focus on? But anyway, all of this is so utterly fake. He's pretending to care about this cop whose name he won't remember tomorrow. He's only there because a migrant killed him. When his followers were trying to beat cops to death with flagpoles on January 6th, he wasn't flying any wakes or anything like that afterward. Right-wing media is watching this thing and they're pretending that they don't know that it's a massive photo op, that that's all it is. And meanwhile, regular right-wingers are pretending that, no, this is actually who he's like. He really cares about this sort of thing. It's all so fake. And I understand that if you're the widow of the slain, it probably does make you feel better that someone notable is at least pretending to care about what happened to you. But everyone should be able to acknowledge that this is so fake. This is political opportunism. This is about demonizing migrants. He doesn't give a damn about this cop or any other cop. Brett, what do you think?
Yeah, it's all optics. This is all Trump, especially being like, he, for his ability to go, he, a lot of people, when they're saying, you know, there's a Trump is out there caring about people and Biden's in a room raising money with Lizzo, like it is counter programming. Trump is no stranger to that. He's been counter programming the Republican debates in the lead up to, he never went to one. He went and did stuff like this elsewhere. Now, there's plenty of, like, a good photo op is one that shines a light on an issue that you care about and gives you the opportunity to talk about like the nuances, the specifics, your plan for everything. That's not what happened here. And Trump can't even get through it without saying something super duper creepy. Like, the wife died. She's a looker.
Yeah, that was very weird.
So the ops, it's sad that I gotta leave my my trophy room with all my fake trophies from my somehow, I don't know what voice this is, but my fake trophy room with all the winnings of me winning all my golf tournaments. But on the upside,
a little bit Bill Cosby there for some reason.
I saw a Priest of Widow Tale, Rudy.
What are you doing? This is so weird. But anyway, yeah, look, it's like any cop being killed is a serious thing. And it deserves to be either addressed or not in a serious way. Trump is faking it. He's faking it. And it's disgusting. Okay. Particularly considering the past of his movement when it comes to cops who dare to get in their way.
Right.
Anyway.
And like there are very real conversations to be had about the incarceral system, reforms to it, and basically trying to reform the system so that we protect victims of crime and of the system.
Yeah.
Most people who are going to do a photo op like this don't actually want to have that conversation. Hell, most DAs who ran on it don't want to have that conversation. Activists are there. Legislative aides are there trying to write laws. And people at think tanks are coming up with ways to rehabilitate people, to keep them out of having a situation that leads them to commit this crime, but also protecting the people that in the meantime are victimized by those actions. Like, but no one in this is going to have that conversation.
Noted. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. If you have the need for mead, I guess. Anyway, people on the podcast would be like, what are you talking about?
Mead.
Watch the live show every once in a while. The social breaks are fun. And go to our YouTube channel and become a subscriber if you haven't already. We put out other content every day that isn't in the podcast. And we would love to get to 1 million subscribers by the time of the general election. So sign up today. Anyway, with that said, why don't we talk about voter fraud, everyone? Ever since Donald Trump lost the 2020 election, Republican officials have been on the hunt for voter fraud, digging into every different state looking for it. And what do you know? We finally found some. Unfortunately, they were the ones doing it all along, as is so often the case. Brian Pritchard, who you can see here, is the vice chair of the Georgia GOP and a right-wing talk radio host and the owner of a pro-Trump propaganda website, who just looks like the greatest sort of guy. But maybe the most interesting thing about him is that he has voted illegally 9 different times. This guy just loves voting illegally. So he has long pushed the big lie, saying that Donald Trump was screwed out of the election. So he's very worried about election integrity, despite the fact that he has repeatedly violated voter laws. So he had previously been sentenced to probation for felony check forgery charges way back in 1996. Now, as a result of his probation, Pritchard was not allowed to vote in Georgia, which, by the way, is the sort of law that I don't agree with. I don't know why you should not be able to vote anymore after that. But right wingers definitely like that sort of law. He is one, you'd think he would abide by it. But no, in 2008, he signed voter registration documents declaring he was, quote, not serving a sentence for having been convicted of a felony involving moral turpitude. He then voted a total of 9 times between 2008 and 2010. He told the court it was simply an error, quote, do you think the first time I voted, I said, oh, I got away with it. Let's do it 8 more times. I wasn't thinking that. But now I think that's exactly what happened, actually. I feel like you just described the actual thought process. So he was ordered to pay $5,000 in civil penalties and be, quote, publicly reprimanded by the state election board for his conduct. Because despite doing it 9 times, it apparently was not that big of a deal. But Crystal Mason was sentenced to 5 years for accidentally voting illegally and thankfully has just been acquitted. So it really matters what state you're in when this happens. But we're weirdly going to have to give a little bit of credit for, I guess, consistency to Marjorie Greene in a second. But first, Brett, what do you think of this?
It's just impressive. You know, like the hypocrisy is so brazen and impressive. 9 times. He voted, as we can prove, seemingly illegally 9 times. Every accusation is a confession of something that they did that was absolutely horrible. And they're out there saying that, and I know the people I know who complain to me personally about like how easy it is to mess up the system, they're just brainstorming how they want to mess up the system. They're not telling me that other people are going to go out and do this stuff. They can't prove it. The Brennan Center did a whole investigation and something. Let me count this, you know, how many percentage? Let me count the ways. 0.0003% and 0.0025%. That's not 0.0025 of all votes. Add two more zeros in there and you've got like so little likelihood that any given vote would be fraudulent. And they're staking all of their political identity on this. And in the meantime, they're also doing the thing they're accusing others of doing.
Yeah.
And we have it. This is him. This is the face behind it. It isn't somebody that they're going to tell you is like some green card holder who magically can vote now.
Yeah, 100%. And look, we've covered so many stories like this. We're not going to run through all of them. It happens sometimes. It seems to disproportionately be Republicans. But even so, at the end of the day, Brett's right. It doesn't change elections. I mean, it could. There have been a couple congressional races that were actually won by one vote, but it almost never would actually matter. And by the way, he voted illegally 9 times. I was thinking about it. I don't even know if I voted 9 times. And he's voted illegally 9 times. But anyway, very briefly, Marjorie Greene, obviously from the same state as him, put out a tweet that said the first vice chairman, Brian Pritchard, voted illegally 9 times. He must resign immediately. The Republican Party is the party of election integrity. That part is a lie and a knowing lie, but we continue. So she goes on to say the 2020 election was stolen in Georgia through rampant voter fraud. I will remind everyone, that's the election that brought her to Congress. So was it stolen or was it not stolen? Is your election valid or is it not valid? But anyway, the point is that she's actually calling for him to be resigned. So she gets credit. Not much, because it costs her absolutely nothing to oppose this guy. He has no real political power over her, but it's something at least. She acknowledged that a Republican broke the law. And with that said, I want to turn to another related topic involving Marjorie Greene and voter fraud, starting with this video.
When President Trump got on the phone with our Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, and said, can you find the votes? Where are they? He was basically looking for ballots. And these ballots have been lost in the mail. And so there was nothing wrong with what President Trump said. As a matter of fact, I think he'll be vindicated easily by a lot of the work that I'm doing and the proof that I'll be showing pretty soon.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I want you to find me the 11,000 votes. He's not doing fraud. He wants to literally find them. Where are they? They're somewhere. They were in the mail. Where did they go? That is beautiful. That is beautiful. At the same time, get the hell out of here, Marjorie Greene. That is, nobody believes that. She doesn't believe that. He wasn't trying to track down specific ballots. He was trying to get the votes to the one necessary for him to win. So for us to believe her new cover story that she just thought of 4 years after the election, Donald Trump had a legitimate concern about lost ballots. And the number of ballots that were lost just happens to be the exact number plus one that he lost the election by. That is about the most brazen excuse making that I think I've ever seen. Brett, what do you think?
I'm rewatching The Sopranos, and one of the things they do, and they're like, that's a lovely house. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. And they're doing that because it's a threat that they're going to burn it down. But that's like if they got arrested and they played back that audio and they're like, I'm just saying it would be a shame if something happened to it. But you know, I'm just, would it not be a shame? It's just like, I don't know if you've ever done something absolutely wrong and you get caught, and then you and your like 9-year-old friends can, when you're a kid, come up with like, well, this is what we'll say happened, right? Okay, perfect eggs. We all think is a great idea. We all think we have the perfect response. Let's do it. And then your parents are like, are you kidding me? I have you on the nanny cam lighting it on fire.
Yeah,
that's what this is. And she said, but no, I have a drawing of what I was doing at the time. That's going to be her evidence. It's all going to be in crayon and it's going to be red, white and blue. And she's going to be like, you're not a patriot if you don't believe my quote evidence.
100%. This is baby talk. This is crayons scrawled on wall theorizing. This isn't even Pepe Sylvia, because Pepe Sylvia, like, there was string connecting things. Hers, the string would be falling off the wall. The paper wouldn't have been glued on correctly. It would be more slapdash than Pepe Silvia. This is utterly ridiculous. Nobody believes that. The fact that she thinks that simultaneously the votes in her district had like a lot of votes stolen from Trump. They decided to give to Biden, but they're like, but we're not going to steal them from Marjorie Greene. Let's keep her in office.
It's
come
so,
on, who believes this?
It's like, why would we believe you? Like, it would be a huge coincidence if the stuff she came up with benefited her and her allies.
Yeah, it's just, this is pathetic. This is beneath the, I understand that we have very low standards for our elected officer, like elected officials, the things that they say, but this is first draft stuff. This is Laura Trump single stuff. Like, you gotta work on this in private a little bit more before you release it for public consumption. Anyway, with that said, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Everyone listening to the podcast, thank you so much. Did you know that if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you could rate and review us? And that is a very nice thing to do. I love to read those. They're great. And you could also head over to the YouTube channel and see more content. For those of you listening live on YouTube, perhaps, or Twitch, or the TYT app, we're gonna be throwing away our garbage people on the other side, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.